He prays like somebody with a master's degree, doesn't he? Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Start looking at a few verses in chapter 3. We'll start with verse number 7, Joshua 3 and verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites, the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now turn over with me, if you would, to chapter 4. Came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan. Take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them, about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. It came to pass when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord that were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry ground, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. Let's pause there and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that we have assembled here tonight on this cold night. Thank you for the heat that we have and the good church comfortable seats, and we have warmth and cool when we need it. We're thankful that things are working well, and we keep maintenance on all these things to try to make sure that happens. we're being called for weather coming Friday, Lord, and there may be somebody that will be affected by that, and we pray for safety and protection and preservation of your people, that you'd bless them and meet their needs. We pray for all those especially who have serious illness going on right now, and for their families, to minister to them and help them and encourage them. Supply the needs, Lord, and bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, did you note, I'm sure you did, that in verse 18 that Jordan returned to its flow in flood stage, that went over the banks as it was over the banks before the priest stepped into the waters and God stopped the waters and let them stand up and back up. The Salt Sea, which is the Dead Sea, did not receive water from Jordan during the time that Israel was crossing. And so all the kings of the land got news real quick what God had done to the Jordan River for Israel to pass over. Now let's look back at verse 19. They encamped in Gilgal. Verse 20. Those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. The Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, and that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Verse chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. So God is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, and he works on behalf of his people. The unsaved who are in opposition to us and opposition to the Lord can learn to fear when they see the hand of God work in such a mighty way as he did in this particular case. The 40,000 men prepared for war passed over unto the plains of Jericho, and the priests and the ark were on dry land in the midst of the Jordan. As long as the ark and the priests were standing in Jordan, then the waters were stopped, and the people could cross over on dry ground. And then when they stepped out on dry ground, the waters returned to the overflowing of the banks as it had. They set up the 12 stones as a memorial, what God had done, and were told to teach this to their children. Our churches should be a visible sign to the world around us that God has built this church. God has established this place. God has equipped us to do what we have done. And this has his name upon it. It has his word's name upon it. And we glorify him with this church as a testimony to the grace of God. It is a visible sign to the world. And they were to remember how God stopped the waters and the people crossed on dry ground, both in Jordan and also previously 40 years earlier when the Red Sea was dried up. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of God is almighty, that they might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, we want unsaved people to know that there's a God in heaven who knows the future, who has pronounced judgment will come one day. But he has also extended Christ dying on the cross so that people can be saved if they'll put their faith and trust in the Lord. We have the answer. We have the message. Could you imagine if we were sitting here tonight and that this congregation of people had the cure for cancer, that we knew what it would take for somebody to take to be cured of cancer? Now, we wouldn't keep that to ourselves, would we? We'd call everybody we know. We'd tell everybody we know that's got cancer how they could be healed, and tell all the people who've got loved ones with cancer how they could be healed. We must remember we have the answer of salvation and for everlasting life, and we must tell people the message of the gospel so they can be saved and have everlasting life, that all the people of the earth might know our great God. And all mankind should show reverence to the God who is creator and maker of heaven and earth and possesses such power to uphold things by his word. The planets move in a cycle, and God upholds all those things. If all of that was an accident that was just cast out, it would be like a man breaking a rack of pool balls. They'd go everywhere. But instead of that, instead of crashing into one another, they work in a cycle, because God upholds all things by the word of his power. And he is great and deserves our praise. God waited when men knew not God, and Scripture says he winked at their sin. In other words, he did not destroy them because of their idolatry and their wickedness. He waited that they might be presented with the opportunity to be saved before he brought judgment upon them. Now he has pronounced judgment on all these tribes of the Canaanite people because they were wicked and evil morally and in every way, and were idolaters. And they were in the land that God had reserved for Israel. And so God was driving them out of the land. When faced with the witness of God and the word of his people, we know that our job is to call people to repent, to have a change of mind about their lifestyle and about their manner of living, that they should call on the Lord and confess their sin to him and turn away from their sin and ask the Lord to change their life as they have changed their mind about their sin and their destiny. Because God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. Christ's resurrection is an assurance to all men that God will bring about a day of judgment and a time where he will pronounce that upon the world. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 17, you might remember with me that Paul was preaching at Athens in Acts 17, verse 15. And while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met him. And certain of the philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Other some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what is this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and behold your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell upon the earth, all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. For as much then as ye are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. I've quoted part of that verse. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. Others said, we'll hear thee again about this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysus the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So this matter of idolatry and a lack of belief on the Lord Jesus Christ and a lack of belief on the God of creation had gone from the Old Testament beginning of days all the way up to the time of the Apostle Paul. And Paul is trying to bring truth to them so that they can be saved. And yet it's so strange that men would hear that truth that only a few became believers. God has appointed a day of judgment. The gospel is the miracle that we are to proclaim so men can know how to be saved. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and then he rose again the third day from the dead, and was proclaimed alive from the dead and ascended back into heaven. Chapter 5 of the book of Joshua, Joshua and the nations, the kings, got word of the miracle at Jordan, and they became faint of heart. They became afraid of the power of God. You'll remember that in Jericho, where Rahab heard how God dried up the Red Sea for them to cross, and she became a believer because of that, and now this miracle has happened for people to see. They come to the place called Gilgal. And Gilgal, the name of that place, means that the reproach is rolled away. They set up their encampment there. And God rolled away the reproach that they had had upon them from the wilderness journey and the 40 years. And we need to observe the removal of things from us. And then they kept the Passover. Let us draw close to God as we would in the Lord's Supper and observe the fulfillment of the Passover, the feast and fellowship with God and the daily bread of heaven, to give us spiritual strength to live for the Lord and serve him. Prepare ourselves for the spiritual battles that we are going to face before us as we walk with God. Let us not be satisfied with second best for God, but let us be totally committed to the Lord completely and be sure that we are in fellowship with him, renouncing all the sinful things of the world. In the power of the resurrection, we can go forward in the strength of the Lord. Now, back in chapter 5, after these heard the news, verse 2, that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Joshua made them sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt were males. Even all the men of war died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. So they became forgetful that circumcision was a sign of the covenant relationship between God and Israel. God had given this to Abraham. He had made sure that Moses had observed it. And now the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness have not circumcised their sons. And so they're getting ready to go into battle where they're going to be totally dependent upon God. And God is telling them to renew that covenant relationship with him and to circumcise all the males. Chapter 5, verse 5 through 9. All the people that came out were circumcised. Verse 6, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people were, that were men of war came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. Came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And that means a rolling. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Verse 11 says, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corn, and the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So this land flowed with milk and honey. It was a land that could produce all they needed to eat. And God had given them manna to sustain them until they came to the point in time in the land where they could pick of the harvest and raise the crops and all the things they could do there in this bountiful land. Now, God is sending them to do what their parents failed to do. Obey him and take the land. First, they must be sure that everything was right between them and God. And the Feast of Passover, like we observe communion today, is a time for repentance and soul searching. Time of confession of sin and drawing close unto God. We must seek cleansing for our sins. James 4, 8 and 10 says that we must lift up holy hands to God and we must purify our hearts and cleanse ourselves of sin. Gilgal became holy ground to Israel and to enter the place of victory and blessing from God. We must cross into the spiritual life that God wants for us. When we partake of communion, we remember the Lord's death till he comes. And they would remember these 12 stones as a memorial in the same way for what God had done for them. Israel had gone down into the river and crossed over into victory with God. So it became the place of resurrection for them. Into the death of the water, out of the resurrection on the bank on dry ground. And we walk with God, we believe on Christ, we're identified with him by baptism into the place of his death, burial, and resurrection. Here God rolled away their reproach. And God help us to experience this same thing. Leaving the old life behind, any failure or slipping back or falling into sinful ways. We are not to walk after the flesh. Let us walk in the Spirit. And God has no hands but your hands to do his work. He has no feet but your feet to lead men in the way. Prepare for the spiritual battles that lie before us and renounce all the sinful ways of our past. And let us walk in the newness of the letter of salvation, that we might be a testimony to others and tell them about God's goodness and mercy that He's had for us. Every one of us can tell people how good God has been to us and how He's answered our prayers. He has blessed us and provided for us, and He has met our needs. Praise God for what He's done for us. Let's be faithful to witness to others and tell them about God's goodness and mercy. Thank you for being here tonight. I pray that you'll be safe going home and safe on Friday and Saturday if we get that weather that they're calling for. Be careful if you go to work early in the mornings and have anything on the roads. I came into the church this afternoon. I came up Celanese 161 in Rock Hill. And when I got to India Hook Road, where it crosses major intersection there, the vehicles went by spraying the salt water on the intersections so that if they freeze, that they won't be iced over, you know, with people slipping and sliding. It may get down into the teens, like 19 or something like that. And I don't care where you're from, that's cold. And no matter how much experience you got, ice is dangerous. So be careful out there. Pray the Lord will protect you and keep you safe. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless your people tonight. Protect us as we travel home. Help us to go with a testimony for you and the word of salvation on our lips to tell somebody how they can be rescued from sin and saved before it's too late. Give us boldness to be a good witness for you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.